Today, we have a very special guest minister who's going to minister to us. He's a wonderful man of God. He's a farmer by trade. Well, he's a carpenter and a farmer by trade. So he's going to sow some word as the word given to him many years ago. Seed. Seed. Seed.
Seed.
Sow the seed. Be ready to receive. It's going to be good. Why? Because Marv is a good man. He's a nice guy. But even greater is Jesus who's in him.
You got it. Always takes a little while to get everything in place. All right. Well, Pastor Jonah asked me, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago if I could preach today. He kind of told you a little bit about me. I work on a farm, grew up on a farm, have been a farmer. So that's my chosen trade, I guess. Have done construction work. Grew up in a godly home. Both my parents were saved, and probably the reason I'm still alive is they prayed very diligently for my life. And don't ever take lightly a praying mother, because if they are diligent, they will get their way, and God will stop you in your tracks and make you turn around. There's been some parts of my life that weren't really done the right way, but it was probably what needed to happen to make me turn my life around. And they did all work out for the good. I have 5 kids. All 5 kids are working and are doing great. I have some grandkids. And life is pretty good. It could have very easily went the other direction. At a couple of pivotal points in my life, choices that I made were the correct ones. So I didn't have to go around that mountain again, and I thank God every day for my wife and my family, because without them, there wouldn't be much reason to be up here. But then it comes to what we're going to get to talk about today, and apparently we've all been called to maturity. So put on your long sleeve shirt, and if your feelings get hurt, talk to Pastor Jonah, because I don't really care. The truth, my feelings have been hurt numerous times in churches. There was a time in my life where something happened in the church, and I had been going to church for probably 5 to 7 years straight, every Sunday, never missed. When I was farming, everything was done. I went to church, came home, did whatever I had to do the rest of the day, but I never missed church. And one thing happened at the church, and I said, that's it. I ain't going. And I didn't go for a long time, many years, because I was upset with something that man did. And I was offended, and it's like, but I was also immature. I was not mature. It was like, oh, they offended me. Fine, I'm not going. Well, there's no way to resolve it if you don't go. Because now you can just sit there and let the devil pump things into your head forever until you're so frustrated with the church that you won't ever go back. And so that is something that had happened, and then, I don't know, somewhere along the way, God intervened and got me to come back in and cut my hair, and that was also a part of the rebellious part. It's like, fine, I'm not going to church. I ain't going to the barber either. I had hair down to the middle of my back. Started going to church, and for some reason, I don't know what it was, but all of a sudden it was like, no, it needs to go. You had a mustache for, I don't know, probably since Hillary was a little kid, a toddler. And all of a sudden one day it was like, no, it's time. It has to go. That's it. There was something that, I think there was something that happened in my life kind of important in the spiritual aspect, and that was an outward showing that, okay, something has changed. And now there's an outward appearance that says something has changed. And I had people after I shaved my mustache off especially that, really? I can't believe you did that. And it's like, well, something's changed. And people of the world, you don't have to go into it. It's just, no, I've made a change and I'm moving on. So, with that being said, I suppose we should get into growing up. Now, when I started working on this, of course, I didn't really know where to go. Maturity, what is the big deal with maturity? What does it look like? Me, I like to see a picture. I hate reading. Reading's horrible. But I would rather see a picture. But I can't find a picture of what does being a mature Christian look like? Where is it? I don't know. Billy Graham? I don't know. Corrie ten Boom? All people that are dead. But you know, where do we go to find out? So, you know, computers make things all so much better. Because you can type words in and it'll show you stuff. Well, I typed in maturity and I came up with Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. And that was the only verse that came up that had anything to do with maturity in the Bible, apparently. Well, at least in this search. So Hebrews 5, 11 says, the subtitle is Warning Against Apostasy, which I looked that up, but I didn't write the definition down. Did you want your Bible?
I need my Bible.
Hebrews 5:11. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled and in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish between good and evil. Well, I thought, well, there, okay, that kind of sums it up in a nutshell what we need to do. I mean, we need to not be on the milk anymore. From what I see of everyone in here, we're all Christians, all been at it a while. Should be mature, but not necessarily are we. I was thinking about that with Theodore and the other children in here and their maturity levels. You know, I'm more mature than Theodore on most days, but I also get to have some of the advantages of being more mature. Like, I can drive myself to church. He can't. Although, he thinks he could. So, you know, this is part of our maturity thing. We have to know our skill level, which, according to the word here, you know, by constantly practicing distinguishing between good and evil, we learn to discern, which matures us, because now we know the right path to take. But if we're an infant, we don't really know the difference yet. You know, I was thinking about it on the way up here today. Man, to be like, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, that has to be like the prime time of life. You can take care of yourself, you can feed yourself, you can relieve yourself. You don't have to do the laundry, you don't have to clean the house, you don't have to cook the food. You've got a roof over your head. Somebody kind of takes care of you, but you have freedom. Yep. So what's the benefit of maturing? I mean, really? Come on. I kind of look at the church and thinking, man, I think there's a lot of people in that spot. It's like,
preach it, brother.
I just want to have all the good fluff and stuff, but I don't want any of the responsibility, because with maturity also comes responsibility. There's a lot of responsibility that comes with it. But if I could stay like 7 or 8, that'd be awesome. And I could probably, you know, have a cookie with my milk once in a while, and then we'd be good. But no, I would much rather take on the maturity. I was talking with Pastor Jonah last week. That doesn't probably really have anything to do with this, but it'll be fine. Sure. There's a song that I listen to occasionally. You know, I spend hundreds of hours driving tractors and working with other non-Christians, so you're not always listening to Christian stuff. And like Andrew Womack said, sometimes you're better off to just listen to secular stuff because you know it's garbage. You can in and out and whatever. But God can speak to you through some of that stuff too. I was listening to a song, it's by Brooks and Dunn, it's called I Believe. And there's a part of that song where, it's a story. I love songs that are stories. So, but he's talking to this old. It's a young kid talking to an older gentleman, and he asks this older gentleman how he keeps from going crazy because he's lost his family, he's lost all this stuff, he had been in the war. And he said, well, every day I believe the words written in red more and more. That's how I keep from going crazy. That's how we become more mature. The other part of that song that always hits me is, there should be something more to this life than a slow ride in a hearse at the end. And that's what I want. I want the more in this life. Well, in order to get the more in this life, I have to become more mature in God's stuff. Because that's the only part of it that matters, is in God's stuff. Should really put a longer timer on this thing. Okay, then how do we get more mature in the church and stuff? Well, I went into Hebrews 6, 1 through 3. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washing, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this will do if God and this we will do if God permits. Well, we have to get beyond just the basics. We have to dig in. We have to look for it. There's more to the Christian walk than a soul riding the hearse to the graveyard. But where are we going to find it? Where do I find it? I find it in the Word. I find it from Pastor Jonah. I find it from Jesse. I listen to some stuff online. But there again, I have to do my discerning and decide whether it's good or evil. Most of the time, I decide that before I turn it on, because it's easy to get sidetracked. Another sign of being more mature is in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Which is the and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up of the body, until we attain to the unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the wave and carried about from every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and by deceitful schemes. And that's where we have to discern. We have to know. As we mature, we know what we know. There are certain things in the church that, in my view, there's no riding the fence on this one. It's, you know, Christ died on the cross. The Bible is the Word of God. I'm saved. Well, that's a... But there are certain things that there is no debate on. This is the way that it is. And there are certain things like the rapture. I have no idea what, you know, and there are beliefs on both sides. Which one's right? I have no idea. You think we're all going to leave and this side thinks we're all staying. I don't know which is right, but that's not something that should divide the church. It's two different interpretations of the same scripture. You can have your opinion. I can have my opinion. If we're mature adults, fine. You sit on that side of church. I'll sit over here and we'll be friends. You know? But at least we're being adults. We can deal with it. I better not say that. Well, there does come a time in maturity, I think, then there's a switch that gets turned up here, and it's like, I just let it fall out. We'll see what happens. Not sure that's exactly right, but no, it's... I have a hard time with the how easily the world is offended in this country. I really have a hard time with that. It just doesn't even make sense to me anymore. But that would probably be part of the reason why we're here, is because the world does not make sense anymore. And I think the closer we get to the end of times, the less sense that will make, and the more sense this will. Because there's chaos. And part of maturity is to be able to see beyond that. You have to be able to see beyond it, knowing that there's a goal at the end that we will attain. Not that I've read the end of the book, but that's what they always say. I read the end of the book. We win. And also part of being a mature Christian is being in the world but not being part of it, which is sometimes difficult to do this in our day and age now, but sometimes it's really easy to do. It's like, okay, you people can just go freak out over there and we'll be over here and know that we're going to be okay. That's part of being not being part of the world. But it's not being ignorant of what's going on either and just not caring. It's just that we have an understanding of a higher being, higher power. We have a better understanding of the end result, I guess. The stuff that's going on now, I don't listen to the news, I don't read the news, I live in my own little world out there in the middle of the country where hopefully nobody knows where I live. Another thing with the wind of doctrine that I was meditating on this morning a little bit is, what do we expect? I mean, Rita and I have been to Bible studies and meetings and stuff, different places, and it's always really bothered me when you come in and you're having your meeting and something, a healing happens or something happens in this meeting and everyone is just super amazed. Wow, God showed up. And it's like, why are we amazed? I just don't understand. I mean, is it great? I mean, it's there. I understand the purpose of the miracles and stuff happening that it builds people's faith and whatever. But why is it that there are some people who have claimed to be Christians or have been Christians for 20 or 25 years and yet they're like, oh my gosh, did you see that? God showed up. And it's like, I don't know, I kind of thought he was expected to be here.
Amen.
You know? And as we mature, it's like, you know what? I don't need to feel God show up here. I don't need to feel His presence. Is it great to feel His presence? Pat's back there nodding. Yeah, it is. It's awesome. But I don't need to know to do that because I know He's going to be here.
That's right.
He's called this together, and He is going to show up. whether we're ready for him or not.
That's right.
And I asked Pat this morning, are you expecting something today? Yep. I said, well, that's good. We all need to come expecting something.
That's right.
We need to expect. And that's part of maturity too. You're not in here looking for the free candy as an immature kid. You're in here expecting some meat from God. Because that's what we want. We want to get beyond the fluff and foo-foo dust. We want, how do I put it? I don't know. We want more.
Yes.
We want more. That's how you put it.
Yep.
I don't just want the frills and the feeling. I want the knowing.
Yes.
I want the... I want to be part of the more than enough. And I'm not talking about money.
Yeah, absolutely.
When there's more than enough, I believe that's for all the gifts. More than enough.
Yeah.
We should have more than enough prophecy, more than enough teaching, more than enough preaching.
Absolutely.
It's only 25 after. I'm good. I can keep going. Maybe. Let's see what else I got for notes. Well, the last thing I wrote down on here was with maturity comes responsibility and comes freedom. You know, I think about kids. Because Theodore's always fun to have running around. But they have a lot of freedom and very little responsibility. Not very mature. But as the older we get, the more mature we get, the more responsibilities we have. But there are freedoms we have too. Lots of them. You know? I'm free to run down to Poco Loco for lunch if I want.
That's right.
Theodore can't go unless
I take him.
I mean, I can drive. He can't. I have freedoms to do things. But with same thing with freedom, there's responsibility with it. You have consequences of making the wrong choices. That can lead down a whole path that I've been down way too many times, and but the freedom is kind of nice to be able to make up your own mind and make choices. Well, and then when I was listening to something this morning, 2 Peter 1, 3 through 7 came up. And I thought it kind of fit in with becoming more mature. Verse 3. Blessed be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance of imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through the faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while it is necessary you have been grieved by various trials. That right there is a goal, I think, for me. As I mature and know that there is something waiting at the end for me. And that's something I need to hold on to. Depending on, I have no idea what this world is going to do, but there could be a time where this is very important. That may be all we have to hold on to. Because we have no idea what this whole scenario is going to turn out like. And the other verse that I had, this is basically where it all started, was Philippians 4, 4 through 9, I think it is. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thankfulness, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I've always heard the peace of God which surpasses understanding. That one always intrigued me. I can remember hearing that in a Lutheran church. That was, yeah, that's it. But as I was studying this week, it's like, okay, the peace of God, that was kind of a, yeah, we can expect that. But it will guard your hearts and minds. So, as you renew your mind and become more mature and put God's word in your heart, if God is the one guarding it, there ain't nobody taking it.
That's right.
But you have to get it in your heart and in your mind. And then His peace will guard that for you. And it'll stay there. And that's your weapons as a mature Christian. Then I have one more thing that I wanted to put out there as a question, probably, for Pastor Jonah. I'm going to find it. I can't remember where it is. Numbers 6:24. Since I like to plant seed. This is also something that I remember from the Lutheran Church. You heard it every Sunday. It was the benediction. Every Sunday. Unless you heard to surpass understanding. That was on special occasions. But, okay. Before this, they're talking about being a Nazarite, which I would assume was being a priest or you set apart for God, basically. Question is, does this apply to us? Because we are set apart for God, or we are all priests, supposedly. I'm kind of not really, well, I guess I'm a priest, I'm not a preacher. So, it's called Aaron's Blessing, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I always have said this before. There's some new people here. I said I've always remember hearing that in the Lutheran church. And my response to it was always the same back then when I was a kid and immature. Great, church is over. We can get out of here. But as I have matured and looked more and more at stuff like this, it's like, that was a super, super blessing that the priest, preacher, whatever, the overseer over that body, put on the people every week before they walked out the door. They did it in a religious fashion, but it was a blessing over the congregation every week at the end of the service. Thinking I was really immature back when I thought, oh good, it's over. And so is this.
Was good. Good word. Good seed. In the word it talks about that there will be a time when the reaper will overtake the sower. So you sow that seed, here's the harvest. And the Lord will bless you and keep you, and he'll make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Jesus said, this peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but give I to you. Jesus gives the peace. This is a proclamation over the people telling them of Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord wants to bless you. He wants to keep you. He'll be gracious to you. He will lift up his countenance upon you. You're filled with the Spirit of God. His countenance is upon you. And he gives you his peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. You are Christians. I will put my name upon the children of Israel. You are Christians. Christ dwells within you, and I will bless them. His favor is upon you. His favor, his grace. Grace is the favor of someone. You're given grace of God. His favor is upon you. You are called by his name. You are held in his hand. You are named after him with a name so precious that no one can know, but only God. You are blessed. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ dwell in you and overflow you. May his peace set upon your heart. May his word guard your mind, and his wisdom the path of your feet. May you go in his strength, and may you declare his kingdom wherever you go. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a wonderful week and be blessed.